Thank you so much for coming. Always surprises me. No, it's awesome that you come. And we have a number of visitors here, and we didn't go through by names because we don't want to embarrass you, but feel quite free to come and talk to me afterwards. Introduce yourselves, that would be so nice. My name is Mick. I'm one of the leaders here. Yeah, it's nice to have you here. Tonight, really special, Paul Windsor. Who's heard Paul Windsor in times gone by? Yeah, it's quite a number. So we're very privileged, actually, to have these bods coming here to pay them $1,000 each. So, not true. and then Brian Smith. Who here knows Brian Smith? He's next Sunday night. So it only gets better and better. Last Sunday night with Charles' story, as Ruby was saying, truly, truly sobering, but quite encouraging. And each of them have been asked to share on an area of hurt and how they've navigated their way through that. So we have Paul tonight. Keep in mind the barbecues for April 28th in the evening. I think we might put out a map of the four locations where the barbecues will be. We'll put that out for next Sunday. One of them is at our place. Who likes barbecue food? I love it. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it's awesome. Okay, friends. We're looking at, 10:02. Hurry up, mate, get going. Could you open your Bibles, please? Let's look up at Acts. Let's go to Acts, shall we? Acts. We're in the book of Acts, and I want to pick up on verse 17 of chapter 5, okay? So, this early church was growing and growing, and then they were healing the sick, just awesome, and that was right up until verse 16, and then we pick up chapter 5, verse 17, and it says here, then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. And they arrested the apostles and put them into the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors and did something very illegal. Brought them out. So there was an escape job being done. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. And at daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. And when the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But upon arriving at the jails, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." And on hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. And having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." And that is in reference to Jesus Christ, of course. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." So this rebellious spirit, this doing that which is illegal, this antisocial behavior, do you like it? Continues. But that's not my message this morning, unfortunately, but it's there. "And the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his right hand as prince," I like that, "and savior, that he might give repentance." So he gives repentance and forgiveness of sins to people. "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who God has given to those who obey him." And when they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, thank you, Ruby, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the people be put aside for a little while. Then he addressed the men of Israel, "Consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all of his followers was dispersed, and it came to nothing. And after him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail, but if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Oh my goodness. You do realize that flogging was like little bits of stone on the end of a whole lot of leather thongs. You know, rip the skin. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. But the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing, because they had been counted worthy of the suffering grace for the name. And day after day, they did that which they were told not to. This lovely rebellious spirit reigns supreme. They never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news. Do you like it? Rebels. Who's a rebel here by nature? Oh, I thought most of you were. Okay. Nice to have you here. So let's pray, friends, and then we'll jump into this. By the way, if you want to hear this again as a cure for any insomnia, struggling to get to sleep, you can get the podcast. But also, if you want hard notes, they are also on the website, if you want a hard copy of the notes. So you can grab those as well. I've just started to do this, but if there's no consumer demand for it, I will not continue. So, for now, anyway, they are up. So let us pray. God, we do thank you for stories. And we thank you for this story that is set in time and space and in history. And this story, well, I believe it has something for us. Maybe different for each of us, but something for us. Feed us, Lord. Feed us. Strengthen us, comfort us, propel and compel us in whatever ways you deem wise through this story. And we all prayed? Amen. Okay, friends, let's jump in, as I say. When I was in my last year of school, I had a good friend. And this guy, you know, he had everything in my eyes. He had good looks. I mean, by the sheer number of girlfriends that he got, he had good looks. He had the brain of a doctor, very bright sort of guy. You know, he had the personality of a surfer. Are you getting a picture here? I mean, this sort of guy, he had dark eyes, you know. We grew our hair in those days. I don't anymore. But he had long, wavy black hair. He was tall. And, you know, if I was being absolutely honest, I would say I was jealous of this guy. You know? I was jealous. I mean, I was short, I was shy, and I was spotty. Okay, zits. So I had all of that going on for me, but he had the opposite. So I was full of envy. Full of jealousy, in a way, if you get well. Okay. Earlier this year, I met him. We kind of caught up with each other in another part of the country, and I met him. And when I saw him, you know, he had a huge bald spot, you know, on the back of his head. That was the first thing I noticed. And then he had a middle-aged spread, you know, a bulge. And then on his face, he had lines of worry, you know. And do you know what my first thought was? Yes. Oh, dear. Anyway, moving right along. So I was jealous of this guy. You know, when it comes to this word jealousy, the Bible is full of it. There's a whole lot of stories in Scripture. Can I have the first slide, Fiona? There's a whole lot of stories in Scripture. And here are some of the stories where jealousy is the defining mark. You know, the one here, Sarah and Hagar. You know, Hagar was a baby factory. She is popping out babies left, right, and center. But poor old Sarah, she was struggling. She got jealous. And actually, her jealousy led to her doing something harmful towards Hagar. And that's what jealousy does. You end up doing something to the other person that you're jealous of. Am I right? What's the next one? Jacob and Esau. And Esau had something that Jacob really, really wanted. And he was willing to do anything to get it. That's what jealousy does to people. The next one is Joseph and his brothers. Do you know this story? Of course you do. Joseph was kind of favored by the dad. And the brothers were what? Yeah, they were jealous. To the point where they got rid of Joseph by putting him at the bottom of a well. And then the next story is Saul and David. And David, you know, he was a bit like my guy friend, you know, in the seventh form. He was like a stud. You know, he was like a sport of nature. He kind of had it all. And David was a bit like that in his younger years. And Saul was supremely jealous, to the point where Saul started throwing spears at David. I mean, so this is jealousy. In this story before us, we have a group called the Sadducees. Do you remember reading that just before? Okay. Now, the Sadducees, they were high-class people, high social class. They were up here. And the Sadducees, they had to look after the religious establishment, the temple. That was their job. And you see, when they cast their eyes upon the disciples were lower class, sociologically. They were lower class. And yet these plain disciples, they were gathering in hundreds and thousands of people. So the religious establishment, they were jealous. By the way, I reckon that the world is jealous of us. I reckon we've got something that the world hasn't got. Do you think that's true? I reckon the world, other groups out there, are jealous of us as a church. Of us, this church. Because we've got something. Read this quote. Could I have the next slide, Fiona? This is Gordon MacDonald. He says this: "The world can do almost anything as well or better than the church. You need not be a Christian to build houses, feed the hungry, or heal the sick. There is only one thing the world cannot do." What is it? Tell the person next to you. Go to it. Okay, friends, there's only one thing. See, it's this one thing that the world is jealous of us. Okay, for. Could we have the next slide, Fiona? There is only one thing the world cannot do. It cannot offer grace. Do you know what grace says? Grace says, listen to me, people. Come to moi. Grace says, God loves you. Grace says, God welcomes you. Grace says God is for you and pro you. Grace says God is on your side. Grace says that God champions you. Grace says that when you come here, there is no condemnation. Grace says that we will welcome you even if we disagree with you. That's grace. And the world is jealous of this. Now, as I said before, when you get jealous of someone, you try and pull them down. Or you pull away. Well, I have nothing to do with you anymore. Or in this story that we read, if you get jealous, you put people away. And what do? They put them where? In prison. So Peter and the apostles, they ended up in prison. And then what happens in the story? An angel. An angel. Now, do you honestly believe in angels? When was the last time you saw one? They're sitting right next to you. No. I came across this story. Look, if you do a Google search on angels, I don't know, I did recently, there are files and files and pages on angels. And here's a story. This came from a Christian source. It goes like this. This lady, she had been driving on the interstate in our city when she became so ill, she was afraid that she might pass out and lose control of the car. Then she saw a handsome young man dressed in a black leather jacket hitchhiking along the side of the road. She pulled off the road and picked him up. "Please, sir," she said, "I am so sick. If you could just drive me to the west side of town where my doctor's office is located, I'll make sure you get a ride to anywhere you want to go," because the guy was hitchhiking. The young man agreed and drove her to her doctor's office. He helped her out of the car and into the doctor's office, where a nurse took her immediately into one of the examination rooms. So other people were involved here. A few minutes later, the woman realized she had forgotten to thank the young man and made arrangements for him to get another ride. She walked back into the lobby and asked the receptionist where the young man had gone. And the receptionist said, "What young man?" "Oh, the young man who practically carried me in here," the lady answered. "Well, no one carried you in here." This is a recent story. "No one carried you in here. You came in here by yourself and put your keys here on the counter." The lady thought she was truly sick, that she had imagined the whole thing and had been having an hallucination. I mean, that is arguably a story, an encounter with an angel. So, back to the story about Peter and the angel. The angel says to Peter, "Peter, leave the jail. Go back, hit the streets, and tell people about this grace." And so what is Peter's response? "Bring it on. Get me out of here. Yes, I want to go out and tell the world about this grace." Now, when I read that, I couldn't read any more in the scripture. Because you know why? Because you see, Peter used to be the guy who was so scared of speaking up. I mean, if you go, for example, to John chapter 18 later on, you'll see that a plain servant girl asked Peter, "You know, are you one of Jesus' disciples?" And Peter was so full of the scares. He was so fearful. He zipped up, "Shut up." And yet, here in this passage, he is, "Get me out! I want to speak!" So my question this morning is this. How does someone go from fear to full on? I mean, that's life change. This guy is altered. He has a different orientation in life. How does that happen? Do you know, in a couple of weeks, early May, Ruby and I are going to Surfers Paradise. It's a hard life. And the reason why we are going to Surfers Paradise is because our eldest daughter is graduating from her program. She finished it at the end of last year. I can share this because she has shared this here. But our eldest daughter was an addict. And she had addiction issues, serious addiction issues. And she went to Australia, and whilst there, she came to the realization she was an addict. You can't tell an addict they're an addict until they tell themselves. Am I right? So she admitted this to herself, and then she self-admitted into a rehab program. Self-admitted. And she did the entire, was it 2.5 years? About 2 years, she did the entire 2. While she was in the program, she became a Christ follower. genuine Christ follower. Now, I intentionally stayed away from seeing her for 2 years. I just sensed that that was right. She needed space. And sometimes people just need space. So I stayed away for about 2 years. I have a powerful personality. You may not think so. That was a bit of a... Anyway. We'll put that aside in a hole. So it was just right for me to back the truck up. To back off. Okay? Just to stay away. I saw her when you saw her as a church. Remember she came? She came late last year, just before Christmas. Look, when I saw her after not seeing her for 2 years, I mean, I was amazed. If that's your child, every mother knows the child of their baby. But I was so amazed. And the question, because she has changed. And had very little to do with me and Ruby and Sina. And my question was, how do people change? How does that happen? How can you become altered? How can you have a different orientation in life? How does that occur? So, when you ask this kind of question, people, they point you in one of three ways. If you see someone, you know, who needs to go through life change, and maybe some of you here do, I don't know, maybe I do. People put up one of three options. So could I have the next slide? Do you like the slides? Julia Hill put me onto these. Okay, here they are. People point in one of three options. The first option is command. So if you want someone to change, you basically say, you give them instructions. You give them directions. You point the finger. You become a parent. You become a police person. You say, God says it here, page number. That settles it. Do it. If you got this one, that's command. The second option is counseling. This is where people would say, no, you don't need someone pointing the finger and giving you instructions. What you need is a surgeon. You need a heart surgeon. You need someone who will dig deep into your heart, peel back the layers, and do a repair job. You need counseling. That's the second option. The third option up there is connecting. You get another group of people and they say, no, if you've got an issue in your life, you need a prayer. Someone who will pray for you. And whatever your issue is, it will be replaced by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So that's the so you get this new life that comes inside of you. And that new life replaces the old with the new. So there. Now, let me unpack this a little bit further. Next slide. So, here is the stuff on command. Now, stick with me on this. Are you interested? Thank you, half of you. Here we go. Command. These people say the problem is your stubborn will. Hands up on that one. Problem is your stubborn will. The cure, well, you just got to do what's right. The means is that you get instruction, accountability, and the effective agent is each other. We're just going to apply a pressure on your life. We just got to keep exhorting you, give you instructions. Come on, do it. Choose it. Will it? Come on. That's that one. Okay? Here's the next one. Next slide. Counseling. These people say, no, the problem isn't your stubborn will. It's psychological damage. Okay? The cure, let's fix it. Let's fix what's wrong. The means, you need to become more aware of what's going on in your life. The lights need to go on. How do you get that light to go on? You need a person of insight, a counselor. That's that one. Let's go to the next one. Connecting. This person says the problem is you've got a disconnected soul. You've got a separation from the Holy Spirit. The cure, is to receive that Spirit, and that Spirit will release that which is good in your life. And that good will replace the bad. And you need someone to pray for you. Now, did you get those three? Let me give you an example. If you have a problem with envy, what will command say? If the person does have a problem with jealousy or envy, you know what the command person will say? Get over it. Count your blessings. Did you get that? Okay, let's move on. What will the counselor say if you've got a problem with jealousy? Oh, so you think that other people are better than you. And because you think they're better than you, you have a low view of yourself. I wonder why you have a low view of yourself. Ah, it could be that you have an inferiority complex. So they're peeling back the layers. That's the counselor. What does the connecting person say with the issue of envy or jealousy? Ah, so you have an issue of jealousy. Well, we will pray for the Holy Spirit to take that desire away and give you a new desire. A desire where you can respect and honor other people no matter what they're like. Let me give you another example. Porn sex. What will the command people say on that one? People? Stop it! Turn off the computer! Sell the computer! Get a program that can check what you're doing with your computer! You know, commands, instructions. What will the counselor say? Also, not many of you face this issue. Okay. It is a very normal, very common issue these days. You know, the counselor will probably say something to the effect of, look, if you're watching porn sex, it's got nothing to do with sex. Something else is going on in your life. Something's going on underneath. It could be, actually, that you are suffering from a sense of aloneness and you need more intimacy in your life. That's what a counselor might do. What about the connecting person? This person would say, no, if you're watching screen porn, you've got an issue with lust. That desire can be replaced with a desire for purity. Did you get this? Now, which one of these three is your natural default position? Which one do you normally go to? Could we have the one of the three up, Fiona? Which one of these three, command, counseling, connecting, is your normal route up until now in your life? Share this with the person next to you. Go to it. Okay, guys. Now, I'm just about done. Before I go on, each one of these has their place, yes? Yeah. The problem that we can get into is where we just end up doing one of the three. See, you take the command one. If your spiritual life, your Christianity, is just command, should to's, have to's, must to's, you will grow to resent it. If it's just that. Is that right? And for a lot of people, that's been the case. It's just command language. That leads to resentment, actually. The problem, if it's just counseling, is that you get these people who are forever looking at their stuff. They are forever focusing on their stuff. And if you focus on something, you feed it. You know, like, if you've got problems in your life, it's like you have rats and snakes in your basement. Yes? If you just keep looking at the basement, the rats and the snakes, they get bigger and bigger because you're feeding them. Do you know sometimes the best thing to do with your snakes and your rats is not to look at them? You starve them to death. But people who fixate on their problems actually feed their problems. Yes? The third one, if it's just the third one, if it's just connecting with the Holy Spirit, you know, those people end up really passive in life. Like, it's all up to you, God, you know, and I don't have to do anything but wait. Whereas sometimes I think God is yelling back through a megaphone, hey, on this particular thing, you're waiting for me to do something? Well, let me tell you, I'm waiting for you to do something. I'm waiting for you to be active. Now, so it can't just be one of these. It has to be all three. And for Peter, it was all three, but at different times. So you might like to look up these references later. If you go to command, Peter received a command to speak up. Remember, he went from fear to full on. Peter received a command in Matthew chapter 28. Go and tell. So he got a command. Go and tell. So there was command. And then in terms of counseling, Peter received counseling, John chapter 21. A beautiful passage of scripture where Jesus, he does some sensitive inquiry with Peter. Comes alongside and counsels Peter. Peter got some counseling, actually. And then connecting with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 4. We're told that Peter was filled with the Spirit and became more bold as a result. So people, I've got to finish. It goes like this. There are people in this room. And you have stuff. And I have stuff. And my heart plea as your pastor is don't get stuck in your stuff. And if you have sadness because of something that occurred 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, don't settle in your sadness. For your sake, for the sake of people who you do life with, for the sake of your workmates, for the sake of this church, don't get stuck in your stuff. Become a person who makes radical progress with your stuff. And for some of you here, not all, for some of us here, it's command. It really is. It's like, get off your butt. It's like, do something. It's like, make a decision today. And the decision you make today will have fruit for tomorrow. It's like, come on. Do something. That's command. That's what some of us need to do today after this service. For some of us, it's command. But for others of us, it's, come on, people, go to a counsellor. I have been so encouraged this year. The number of people in this church who have contacted me and said, Mick, can you put me in touch with a counsellor? Awesome. Absolutely awesome. And some of us need to do that with our stuff. And then finally, some here need to be prayed for a fresh and filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you know which one is for you? How do you know which is the next thing? Well, to finish with, could be a process of elimination. You've tried two, we'll try the third. It could be as simple as that. For some of us, it could be, you know, you've been getting postcards from heaven. Do you know what I mean by that? Postcards. It's like wherever you go, you keep bumping into a word. Counseling, 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 counseling. You just keep bumping into postcards from heaven. You're so sick that God is trying to get through your thick skull. And he's sending postcards time and time and time again. It could be you just keep hearing the same word. Spirit, spirit, spirit. I don't know. But that's another way that you can find out which one it is for you next. It could be going with your gut. Like, what is your intuition saying? I just feel this is the way to go. It's not command, it's not counseling, it's spirit. That could be it. It could be, finally, that you come and talk to me. God forbid. You come and talk to me and you say, Mick, I've got this issue. I'm not too sure if it's command, connect, counseling. Can you give me a bit of discernment? I'd love to. All I'm saying, people, is don't ever become a someday, someway, somehow person. You know, it'll happen. It'll happen someday, some way, somehow. No, no. Do something soon. Don't get stuck in your stuff. Let's be a person who makes radical progress. No matter our age. There's no age limits on this stuff. Let's be people who make progress. Is that right? I can't think of anything better. Amen? Let's all stand. Let's do a touchy-feely thing, shall we? No? See, you have got stuff. Let's hold hands. Yeah, let's pray. Our God, as we go from here, we go in the love of God, bathing, soaking, enjoying the fact that you are for us, you're with us. As we go here from here, O God, we go in the grace of Jesus, his cleansing, his forgiveness, his healing. And as we go from here, we go in the power of the Spirit, his enabling to make progress. We go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you.